Thanks, Jenna.
The meeting will come to order. This is the March 25th meeting of the Environment and Natural Resources Finance Division. We are a couple short of a quorum, but have a lot of work to do, so I would ask, we have one more.
We need one more. Oh, we got it.
We do have a quorum, so Representative Wagenius, if you would move
Yes.
that House File 3702 be passed and returned to the Committee on Finance.
I will move that House File 3702 be passed and returned to the Committee on Finance. And then I would like to move the DE1 amendment. This is the delete all members, and I'll tell you about it in a moment.
Representative Wagenius moves the DE1 amendment to get the bill in the order that she would like it in. Is there any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Ayes have it. Amendment is adopted. Representative Wagenius to the bill as amended.
Thank you. Members, we have been over the bills. This is a compilation of bills that we heard in committee. I think all but one of them was heard yesterday or 2 days ago. So I am not going to go over the bills themselves unless you want me to. What I am going to do is go over changes in the bills and first tell you what's in this, I mean, tell you which bills are in this bill, and then go over any changes. And then I will be offering one amendment that Representative Saylor worked out with the DNR, and it would have been in the this bill, except it got so late that we received it so late, we just went ahead and did the bill, and that's going to hopefully come in by amendment. So I'm going to tell you about the bills included. The first one is my House File 3702, which is the long-term management budgeting required by the DNR to have the various divisions that manage land produce a spreadsheet that will see the long-term financial implications, very similar to what was done in Parks and Trails. Included is Representative Cornish's House File 2622, in which he designates the Blue Earth River as a boating route, and there's the money that goes along with that. Representative Detmer's bill, House File 2673, is the disabled veterans eligibility and for a free annual state park permit, if that's in. House File 2957, Representative Conan's bill for Indian tribal governments exempted from registering or licensing watercraft, off-highway vehicles, and snowmobiles, that's in. Now, Representative Saylor's House File 3459, this is the one. I will go over this section with you a bit because, well, let me just tell you about that right now. Because Representative Saylor worked this out with PCA, and this was agreed upon language that essentially says that counties have 10 months after the final adoption of the Pollution Control Agency's rules, the counties have 10 months to adopt their ordinances. It also provides for a task force for to be chosen by the Pollution Control Agency, but within in consultation with the counties and some on-site folks to talk about implementation and enforcement. And so that advisory group is in there, and also in there is the requirement to PCA to give county officials some help by giving them the protocols for looking at on-site sewage systems, if they are meeting enforcement requirements or not. Okay. Representative Portman's bill, we took parts of that bill, but not the court part and the timeline part, but the remainder of it should be in here. Representative Bunn's House File 3367, the solid waste disposal facility requirements are modified, and that's in here. Representative Dill's bill, House File 2954, is in here, I think, with one amendment that allows some retroactive application of a part of it. And then Representative Eakin's bill, House File 3094, is in here. The Lake Vermilion part was out. We removed that in committee. There were a couple of parts in there where DNR, no, wait a minute, we're talking about DNR, did not have standards, and those were worked out, and the first standard in question was what happens when somebody applies for a groundwater permit and what information has to be provided, and they had a clause that said that they could just for cause make an exemption. But what was done was written out what that really means is if people have adequate information already, or if they have adequate information already, then they don't have to require it of an applicant. And then the three other places in there were clarified for the standard. So that was the, I believe my recollection is correct, that was the only that was the only changes. With that, that is the bill. I am not going over every piece of language because you heard it 2 days ago, but I think I have now told you everything that is in, out, or different. What I would like to do now is offer the A1 amendment.
Okay. Oh, let me get it here. This everybody have a copy of the A1 amendment? Offered by Representative Guineas, and yes. Going to speak to the amendment, Representative Guineas.
I will. This is actually from Representative Saylor, House File 30, and this is, comes from our House File 3291, and. What it says is that in a residential permit across DNR land, essentially several permits can be merged together, and so only one fee is charged, not multiple fees, and as long as it's within 1 year. And DNR believes that as it collects money for from these fees, that it will still be within its budget, and so we are not carrying any fiscal note with this. So with that, I'd like to offer A1.
We have the A1 amendment in front of us. Any members have any questions on the A1 amendment? Seeing none, anybody in the audience want to comment on the A1 amendment? Seeing no comments or questions, we'll all in favor of the A1 amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, no. Amendment is adopted. Please proceed.
That is my okay. Amendment.
We have Representative Hackbarth, I have a H.N. 2442 amendment.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, that is my amendment. I'd move that amendment.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, this is an amendment that we had in the Environment Policy Committee, and it has to do with ATVs, ATV training, and ATV seasons. In Section 5 of the amendment, you'll see that the commissioner is already doing this. This is an ATV season issue, and we'll put it in statute, and so there's not any problem. I don't know how to explain it. It's been an issue that the commissioner put by order out there that we're going to have this season. We just want to make that a statute so we can put it in the books and make it legal. All that sort of thing is legal anyway. But and the rest of it is about ATV training for non-resident youth. Makes them legal on our trails if they have this training from other sources other than the state of Minnesota's training. And the very last issue is the organized contest issue with youth being able to participate in racing and off-road sports type activities at an early age. Just makes that legal. That's really the substance of the amendment, Mr. Chairman. No physical impact to the general fund.
Question, Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Could we have DNR come down and testify on the amendment?
Do we have a... Welcome. Please state your name for the record.
Mr. Chairman, Ron Potter with Parks and Trails Division, DNR.
Representative Hansen.
Mr. Chair and Mr. Parks, on the first on Section 5, so could you explain kind of the history of this and what's been happening under and why this would need to be in statute?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hansen, since this legislation was passed, the commissioner has authorized a season by commissioner's order, and it's been essentially what's stated here. It's closed during the firearms season. And this is just consistent with what we've been doing by commissioner's order.
Representative.
Mr. Chair, has Mr. Parks, has the commissioner authorized any other seasons, or this is the only one, this is the only order in the time that's effective?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Hansen, Representative Hansen, yes, this is the only one that has been done up to this point. This is consistent every year.
Mr. Chair, and maybe Mr. Reynolds can help. So there is no impact on the general fund. Are there on the ATV dedicated funds? And
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hansen, I guess I'm relying on the expertise of the DNR on that. I haven't looked at this.
Representative Hansen.
Mr. Chair, maybe Mr. Parks, on the impact on the dedicated dollars, is it nominal, minimal, or of the amendment?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hansen, there is basically no impact on the dedicated accounts. We do some posting of the season when it's closed, the printing of those signs, which is, you know, $1,000 maybe, so it's minimal.
Representative Scalzi.
But not on this issue, not on this
amendment. Okay. Further questions or comments on the amendment, 810-2442? Representative Guinness.
I think it's a fine amendment to put in. I am recommending that members vote for it.
Okay. Any further questions? Anybody in the audience have any comments on the amendment? Seeing none, all in favor of the amendment say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, no. Amendment is adopted. Okay, I've got, are these the same ones? Okay, I've got Representative McNamara. I have an amendment here.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll just take a minute to go through this, and no one has seen it yet. It was just drafted this morning, and so I apologize to Chair Wagenius, and I'll just walk through it real quickly. Representative Junkie has proposed, and we passed off the House floor in the budget bill that passed just earlier, that the invasive species work be transferred over to the Department of Natural Resources effective right away. I think he's going to make an effort to transfer back to the Department of Ag the traditional ag parts of that. That would be things like soybean cyst nematode, some seed potato, wheat rust, back into the Department of Ag. I think there may be an effort in that conference committee to do that. But unfortunately, when he transferred the authority over to the DNR, he didn't transfer or make any arrangements for any money. I think he felt that that was probably now going to be taken care of with the DNR. And so Representative Wagini has kind of got caught there, where I believe our bill had even already passed. So this is an offer of a solution, members, that's very, very, very important for a number of folks in the tree industry. And this would include folks in the logging, wood mulch, and the tree, historic, what we think a tree business, the growing of trees. And it deals mostly with potential quarantines in our state for things like gypsy moth, which would really have an effect on the movement of logs outside of our state, things like wood chips. It gets real involved to be able to move wood chips into Wisconsin, which is an unquarantined state. Even though this gypsy moth started out east, Wisconsin's controlling it. And there's much federal match involved here, members. This $350,000 potentially would be matched with many hundreds of thousands of dollars of federal match, which is used to spray specifically, like up on the North Shore, for gypsy moth. So what I've proposed to do here, there's a forest nursery account with about, I believe currently, about $1.7 million in it. And many of you have heard me talk about the forest nurseries at the DNR. And just to bring people up to speed, they're currently in the process of drastically reducing what's going on at General Andrews nursery, with the idea that that could easily be closed within a couple of years, and they would just keep going with the Bedora nursery over near Representative Saylor's district. I believe it might actually be in Representative Saylor. It could be in Representative Howe's district, that one would continue to operate. This would take $350,000 out of that account that has approximately $1.8 million in it today. And the need should reduce with the reduction in the activity at General Andrews. And it would fund this very important program that's important to not only to the traditional nursery industry, but also to the logging and the people that are shipping logs and wood chips. So I think I've kind of explained it, Representative Wagenius. And truthfully, this is important. The Emerald Ash Borer just is found in Minneapolis significantly in some of the forested areas along one of the areas near St. Paul. So we need to have this funding some way, somehow. And so this is an effort, I think, to do that.
Representative Wagenius.
Members, I'm going to oppose this amendment. It is on many counts, but let me start with saying that I have been discussing the transfer with Representative Junkie, and we've had many discussions. And you will note that in this bill, I did not offer language to take over the responsibilities, so we don't have the authority in this bill to take over the responsibilities from the Department of Ag. I had that language drafted, thinking that it might come to that, but it appears to me that Ag is going to retain its traditional responsibilities, and we are going to retain our traditional responsibilities. So you're offering an amendment that actually doesn't fit, because we don't have that authority that could have been transferred but is not transferred. So that is one thing. So that's the fundamental reason that this is inappropriate at this time. The other thing I will just note for members is that in the bonding bill and bonding that passed and was signed into law by Governor, we put $3 million in for emerald ash borer and other tree issues in our metropolitan areas, in our city, in our little cities all across the state, big ones and small ones. And we gave $3 million to DNR for tree planting and extra money for managing forests. So that's $6 million altogether going out in these direct, at least in these directions. So with that, members, I'd ask you to vote no.
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Wagenius, I'm a little confused. If I'm not mistaken, we've already passed off the House floor the bill to move this authority to the DNR. You said it's not necessarily going to happen. I realize that, and if it doesn't happen, if you want to add some language, if the DNR doesn't get the authority, they don't need the $350,000. But Representative Junkie, in my discussions with him in a current bill that's passed off the floor, this authority is going to the DNR with no way to fund it. This is federal match to stop a quarantine. If we get quarantined for gypsy moth, the federal government never lifts that quarantine. We will not ship outside of this state without using a lot of chemicals that you and I would rather not have sprayed by people to make the ability to ship plant material. This would be unbelievably short-sighted if the legislation that's already passed the Minnesota House becomes law with no way to fund. We're talking about significant federal match. We're talking about controlling a pest that is so far has been present in this state for 20 years, and we have not had to be quarantined yet. And I'm not sure where you're coming from. If it goes back to the Department of Ag, I don't have any problem adding language that if they're going to fund it. Representative Junkie is absolutely adamant that this not stay in ag and be funded with general fund money from ag. He does not want that. So unless you're getting a different message and are going to say here that this is going to get funded, this would be devastating to let this happen to the urban areas with emerald ash borer and to the forested areas in northern Minnesota and those people that are struggling, the private sector. This is a huge impact to our private sector.
Representative Guineas.
The statutory authority rests with the Department of Agriculture, not with the Department of Natural Resources. I know that Representative Junkie cut funding. He did add some language that allowed the transfer of federal funding between the agencies. But right now, I have no clue whether $350,000 makes any difference in the gypsy moth area. We have had no testimony about that. We don't have that authority. That authority still rests with the Department of Agriculture. So this is a premature amendment, and I am opposed to it.
Representative Hansen.
Representative Guineas just said what I was going to say.
Representative McNamara.
Well, a couple things, members. You need to know this is not general fund money. This is a solution. Representative Wagenius, you have asked us to offer solutions. If you're going to say this one, you're opposed because it might not make sense, we might not need it, then you're the one that's going to stand there and say, when this spraying doesn't happen on the North Shore and we get quarantined for gypsy moth, it's going to be because you said, well, it might not happen. The transfer might not happen. It's already happened. It's in law. It's passed off. I'm sorry, the transfer hasn't taken place, but it passed in a bill off the Minnesota House floor, and it's in conference committee. The target that's been given for ag is $300,000. That's not going to fund this program. The target that the House got last night for the Department of Ag is $300,000. Representative Junkie is worried about wheat rust, seed potatoes, and soybean cyst nematode. He's not concerned about the trees. He's already transferred the trees to the DNR. So if members want to vote no on this and not have solutions to take care of problems that affect this state, then just tell us we might as well not come to committee, the minority. If we're not going to offer common sense solutions to take a program that operates at 20% of capacity, has $1.8 million in it, we're in the process of closing one of the nurseries, and the reason that we're not going to do it is because it might not happen. Well, it might not rain the rest of the spring, so the industry should quit planting trees because it might not rain. I ask for a roll call, Mr. Chair.
Roll call has been requested. Any further comments or questions from members? Anybody in the audience? Comments, question? Okay, clerk, take the roll.
Guineas?
No.
Purcell?
No.
Hackbarth?
Aye.
Anderson?
Aye.
Anzels? Clark?
No.
Dill? Doty?
No.
Gunther?
Aye.
Hamilton? Hansen?
No.
Hortman?
Aye.
Knuth?
No.
Lilly?
No.
McNamara?
Aye.
Scalzi?
No.
Torkelson?
Aye.
Dill?
Okay, there being 7 ayes and 8 nays, the amendment is not adopted. Representative Clark, an A2 amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, this deals with some of the occupational health and safety issues that we talked about in this committee and had a hearing on a discussion about. This is actually a small change to what's already in the bill, and what it is on page 28, line 12, we're ensuring that the kind of work that we're, the occupational health and safety work that's in the bill is monitored by a responsible government unit. And as my understanding in talking with you and some of your experience with the US EPA, the monitoring is required as part of a closed landfill of this type. So. This just adds that insurance as is already required by federal law.
Heard the amendment questions from members? Any questions or comments from the audience? Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Clark. So what, when we're looking at, is this on page 28, you said, and line 12, that's what we're looking at?
Yep, that's correct.
And is this section 115B of the statutes, is that dealing with commerce and issues? Are we talking, did you say OSHA? Is that what you talked about?
Right. This is worker protection that we talked about in the committee. The workers are governed by OSHA law at landfill sites. And this just ensures that it happens. In talking with the various departments, it is already supposed to be happening, but I provided information to the committee that it did not happen. So this is just ensuring that we go forward with what's already in, with already in the law, enforcing it.
Well, Mr. Chair, Representative Clark, was this heard in the Commerce Committee or in Rukavina's committee at all?
Let me think. It was heard in... capital investments, we talked about it as policy, I believe, and it was discussed here. I'm trying to remember. I can't really recall.
Well, Mr. Chair, Representative Clark, I mean, typically when we're talking about workers' issues, I know we've heard a lot of that in Rukavina's committee.
I can double check on that.
I don't recall it being heard in there. And I'm just wondering if you've had a if you've requested a hearing from Chair Rukavina and he's just not heard the bill, or what the situation is.
Representative Clark, I'm trying to recall here, and it's been kind of hectic and busy. But I thought I remembered this might have been heard in Commerce, and Representative Atkins' committee.
Yeah, that's right. And it was heard in another committee. I'm sorry. I'll just check with my staff.
I don't recall,
right now.
Mr. Chair, Representative Clark. I serve on Commerce, and I don't recall it there either. So.
I'm not going to swear to it, but I'm, yeah. It was heard somewhere because I gave testimony about it. But.
Mr. Chair, it was not heard in Commerce.
I guess it was, excuse me, it was in Public Health and, I'm just hearing my staff, and in this committee, we talked about it.
Well, Mr. Chair, Representative Clark, you know, I can't remember off the top of my head, but I do believe that this would at least have a visit to Rukavina's, Chair Rukavina's committee, if not the Commerce Committee. I would guess I would feel greater comfort if those folks would have a chance to look at this language before we put it in the environment, this omnibus bill that Representative Wagenius has.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Clark.
There hasn't been any request from that committee. I'd be glad to run it by them, but I can do it right now, but I'm sure that what we're talking about here is what's already supposed to be happening with our landfills, our closed landfills. So I'm not adding anything that's not supposed to be happening already. What I'm ensuring is that the enforcement is already is happening better than it has been.
Okay. I'm just, you know, I don't want this to come to the floor and somebody's going to get up on the floor and say this has to be referred back. So I'd have greater comfort if we knew from those chairs in particular and obviously the members that serve on that committee that they're okay with bypassing that route.
Mr. Chair, I'll be glad to
go ahead, Representative Clark.
I'll be glad to double check on that. It should just take a couple minutes.
I think that would be good. Representative Wagenius.
Okay. It is my understanding what this is highlighting current law more than changing current law and highlighting it to make sure it's done because there have been press reports of it not being done. And is my understanding of that correct, Representative Clark?
It is, Madam Chair. And actually, we had I think I passed around in here. We had a copy of the article from the press. I have it with me again today if you need it. But it is a concern that enforcement of existing law will happen.
So I'm fine with the amendment. I think it still stays within the spirit of what is in here, which is saying we've got to follow federal law, guys, essentially.
Representative Anderson.
Well, Mr. Chair, Representative Clark, in the two committees, you said it was Public Health, and what was the other one?
I'm trying to remember if we talked about it in capital investment. I'm not sure. We're double-checking on that right now. We had it in the Public Health Committee, and it was discussed in here as well.
We did talk about
it. It was in capital. Okay.
Investment. Okay. Sorry, my memory is... pause for a second. When you maybe talk.
Sure.
Representative Hackbar.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And maybe what Representative Wagenius... where did this Section 1 come from? Was that part of someone else's bill, or was that one of the bills that were rolled in? I don't recall discussing this in committee. Where did the Section 51 come from?
This may be my mistake, Mr. Chairman, because I know I have heard it several times. So I assumed we'd heard it in this committee, and now I am thinking maybe we had not. Because I have heard it at least twice personally on other committees that I've been on. So may have been my mistake that we hadn't heard it. So, Representative Clark, why don't you spend a little time and tell folks more about this?
Sure. I know we talked about it in here, and I'm just checking with my colleagues, and I don't know if you weren't here when it was discussed, but I did pass around some news article about it as well. This has to do with the closed landfill situation where we're specifically referring here to an incident that happened at the Washington County landfill where the people who were doing the work there were not, there was a front page newspaper article, they were doing the work without any protective clothing on. And I actually made a call to both the PCA and then to the Department of Labor to talk with them about this issue and whether or not there was going to be protective equipment provided and shouldn't it be provided, because actually it was provided to the operators of the heavy equipment, but it wasn't provided to the workers who were pulling the liner over the landfill. The people who were actually walking on the ground did not have on any protective equipment over their shoes or any of their clothing. And so my understanding is that there should be that kind of protective equipment, and at least someone needs to be there monitoring it. The amendment that I'm bringing to the bill today is to ensure that the responsible government unit is monitoring the occupational health and safety at these kinds of sites.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Clark, and I'm looking through this language, this new language that you are inserting into Minnesota statutes, and it's talking on line 28 and 29, and it says that the methods must be substantially same as those required by the U.S. EPA. And I'm just wondering, how do we operate now under Minnesota law when it comes to this? What is our current language on this area? And I just, the more I read this, this really, it should go to Commerce and to Rukavina's committee. So can you describe to me what is current law on
my
this area?
My understanding is that we should be complying with the federal law when we were talking about these kind of contaminants. And actually, the U.S. EPA Superfund investigation process there is one that is already one that we're supposed to be complying with. Now, I have to turn to my expert on this, Representative Purcell. We had some conversation about this when this was being discussed in this committee and in the other committees, and I looked to him for some of the information because he's done a lot of work with U.S. EPA Superfund sites. And my understanding is that this is bringing our local work into compliance with what is already existing law. And we want to make sure that it's followed, that it's enforced. It's not, it wasn't being enforced in this instance, and I picked it up and actually made several calls to two of our state agencies, and so I thought it should be, you know, right in our state law, so it's clear that that's what we're supposed to be doing.
Mr. Chair, Representative Clark, that's not the question I was asking. I was asking what is current law currently for these folks. Could you please tell me that?
That is my understanding, that these words in here are the current law, the current federal law. We need to make sure.
I'm sorry. Mr. Chair, Representative Clark, what are the guidelines that Minnesota statutes, not federal law, but what are the Minnesota statutes, what are the rules, the guidelines that we have in particular for this? Do we have people from the departments that could come down and testify to this piece and speak to this a little bit? Because I have not heard this in Commerce, I have not heard this in higher ed, we have not heard this, I believe, in this committee as well.
Representative Guinness.
I think we federal law would be governing here. Not having testimony about state law doesn't, I don't think, gets us any place, because federal law is the governing law.
I'm just going to offer, Representative Clark approached me about this and my experience in dealing with contaminated sites, and to me it's a simple, straightforward, and that the law was not complied with, whoever's law you want to say applies here, but federal law governs contaminated sites unless the state has a law that is comparable or more restrictive. And this simply boils down to, we had a landfill situation where workers were not wearing protective clothing, some workers, others were, and the law wasn't followed. We exposed, seemingly, folks were exposed to contaminated materials unknowingly and needlessly. And so this is just an effort to say we are going to enforce law. Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Clark, you've offered an amendment that hasn't been heard in this committee. I'm not sure it has jurisdiction here. I'm not sure where it's been, but I offered an amendment earlier and made sure I got a hold of the agency. Do you know, is the Department of Labor and Industry in the audience? Did you make an effort to contact them? You've submitted an amendment that clearly is outside the jurisdiction of this committee. Do we at least have someone to confirm? Mr. Chair, you made allegations that these people were working and they weren't complying by existing law. As Representative Clark has said, she's contacted a couple of agencies. Is either one of those agencies here to testify? Are we going to adopt an amendment that's clearly outside the jurisdiction of this committee? And are we going to adopt it in a partisan way, just like we just denied one of the amendments that clearly was within the jurisdiction of the committee, clearly was dealing with a problem? You've made allegations that there's a problem here. Someone here from the Department of Labor and Industry that could come forward and address these concerns. Somebody's making allegations that either Ames or one of their subs is breaking the law, and I'd like to know if that's true. And if it's not true, I would expect that we'll come back tonight with those people here to address these concerns, because we have to start to do things in a correct manner here instead of just popping up with stuff out of the middle of the night.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Clark.
Representative McNamara, when this occurred, I called and talked both to Representative Swiggum's commissioners, assistants in the Department of Labor, and I talked to the people at the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. And since this has been discussed, and it was discussed in this committee, I'm just checking with other folks, we had a discussion about it. I don't know that I specifically proposed it in here as an amendment until this bill. But it was discussed, and I passed around the document, and I'm glad to show you again. If you want, I have right here copies of the articles that shows the workers that were in their street clothes at this site. Okay, and I met with the Department of the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. So this is not something that has not been discussed with appropriate bodies. I just want to assure you of that. Okay, that has happened, and I have no problem with them coming to meet with us. What I want to tell you is it was addressed immediately at the time that the newspaper article came out. It was on the inside front page and inside pages of the Minneapolis Star Tribune. And it concerned me to notice that all of the workers that were not wearing, that we could see, all the workers that were identified that were not wearing protective gear, happened to have names that indicated they were people of an ethnic origin where they might have had difficulty even understanding, depending on what they were folks whose ethnicity was, sounded like it was Southeast Asian, and I called, and that was confirmed. It was confirmed to me that they were Southeast Asian workers by the people at the Department of Labor. So I just want to let you know that this has not been done, haphazardly. There's been a fair amount of work and legwork that I've done on this issue. And I'm trying to make sure that any workers in Minnesota, any of our people here in Minnesota who are working in closed landfills where there are hazardous substances are properly protected by the existing law and that the existing law is enforced.
Representative McNamara, I just need to square the record, too. You said I made allegations. I did not. I stated fact. And there's 8x10 glossies to those facts. Now, your concerns about how we're proceeding with this committee, I take those to heart, and we'll ask PCA to come down and testify. I believe somebody's in the audience about this, but I made no allegations. I stated fact. Representative McNamara.
Mr. Chair, I'm concerned that a contractor is working in the area of my legislative district, and it was said here that current law was broken. And I guess I would like to hear from Representative Clark has said that this was wrong, what was going on, and that her amendment is to fix that. We could hear from Minnesota Pollution Control. They're the agency that is coordinating the reconstruction of that landfill. They're not the appropriate agency to talk about if Minnesota OSHA law has been broken. The appropriate agency would be the Department of Labor and Industry. And behind me is a representative of the Minnesota DNR Department of Forestry, who I made sure was notified that I was offering an amendment that they may or may not like. But someone in this committee may want to ask them a question about my amendment. And I thought it was appropriate if Commissioner Swiggum or one of his designees hears that law was broken at the Washington County landfill, and one of the contractors or subcontractors may have even employed people that couldn't understand.
Yeah.
And Mr. Chair, I spent my life working in the landscape industry with people who had names that were different than maybe Purcell or McNamara, but I can guarantee you we offer them data safety sheets in two languages, make sure they understand that. And before we go forward and start picking on contractors, working their tail off, trying to make a living, and we got photos of people walking on dirt in a landfill, I'd like to know if these folks were doing it illegally and wrong, and if we need legislation. But to pass something that's never been heard in committee is clearly outside the jurisdiction. I could make an effort like Representative Clark did and rule the amendment out of order, which happened in her Health and Housing Committee to one of my amendments that clearly was in order. I'm not going to do that. This is important. We should hear if the workers were being mistreated or something illegal was happening. I want to know where the Department of Labor and Industry is. We can have MPCA come down and talk about the great work they and Ames are doing. If I'm not mistaken, I think it's Ames doing it for $18 million instead of the $25 million we thought it was going to cost. And I'd love to see it. Let's have a PowerPoint. Let's spend the night on it. Members, we should look at this issue, and we should come back tonight and have a 3 or 4 hour presentation about the work going on with Ames and the work out there and the good work they're doing. And if Jose is not being let know of what should be going on, we should hear about it, and we should be adopting these amendments. We should not be moving fast. We should be moving slow and making sure we're doing the right thing. But we should, if we're going to ask for an amendment and offer an amendment with an agency, we should at least have the decency to call Commissioner Swigum and make sure he or one of his designees is here to answer the questions. And I don't want to adopt this amendment or vote on it until the Department of Labor and Industry is down here to answer. I've got a series of questions for them.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Clark.
I just want to say once again, Representative, we talked about, I already talked with those folks, and I'm glad to have them come. It's not a problem.
I had word that MPCA wanted to testify. Am I correct in that, or has that changed?
I don't think wanted to is.
Please state your name for the record.
Mr. Chair, members, I'm Myrna Hallbeck with the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. What we wanted to clarify for you on the record is the responsible government unit under this case would not be my agency. It would be OSHA. And so just we wanted to make sure that people understood who is required to do the safety evaluation and respond to any complaints about the compliance. They did come down and visit based on the Washington County. But I think it's not for my agency to describe whether it's in compliance or not.
Representative Guinness.
And you feel that all of this responsibility is federal responsibility to make sure that there's work compliance for workers?
Ms. Palmer.
Mr. Chair, Representative Guinness. We actually have a state OSHA compliance who does that work for the federal, so whether it's a Minnesota safety requirement or a federal, our Minnesota OSHA does the compliance evaluation.
Under federal law and state law.
Yes.
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Hallbeck, if I'm not mistaken, the current commissioner of the Department of Labor and Industry, as you said, has the responsibility under the Federal Hatch Act to distribute those federal funds that deal with OSHA. So am I correct that the Minnesota OSHA inspectors that I've had visit places of business or I'm aware of them doing that work under the Department of Labor and Industry? So if I or Representative Clark had a question about a work site and we would call the Department of Labor and Industry and tell them of our concern, and that's where the department that would do that. It's not the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency.
Ms. Hall.
Mr. Chair, Representative McNamara, that's correct. Often we will get the call, but we would defer them to the Department of Labor and Industry to make that compliance determination.
Representative,
I think the chair might.
Representative McGinnis.
Good. I'd like to ask Ms. Hallbeck, does this statute change the state standard?
Mr. Chair, Representative McGinnis, no. We already do have safety plans in place for all of the landfills. That's part of the current process that we do.
I think, Mr. Chair, members, that's the key question or the key that we should be thinking about. This is not changing any standards. It is highlighting a problem, and it's not telling PCA to do things differently. I think we're at a time in session when it's getting near the end, and there's always more tension near the end of session, but I think this is not where we should focus our attention or tension. Thank you.
Representative Anderson.
No, I have. I was still talking. Right. I thought Wagenius was on point.
Go ahead. Representative McNamara.
Thank you. Representative Wagenius, have we heard anything in Section 57? Has it been a bill here? Have we heard it? And did you make any arrangements to have the Department of Labor and Industry come here if you were going to bring this forward? And I'm wondering, has it been heard in Commerce? I didn't know that we dealt with government unit of OSHA, and if we're going to deal with OSHA here, I'm wondering, are you actually going to move and plan on adopting this amendment without hearing from OSHA?
Representative McNamara, this amendment does not change any standards. If it changed standards, then it would be a different question. But I think what you're trying to do is answer a give an answer to a question that is not on point. The point here, what Representative Clark is trying to do, is my understanding, is to highlight the need for us to be protective of workers. This language does not change any standards. If it changed standards, it appropriately would be in other committees, but that's not what's happening here.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So if I understand, what you're saying is we don't need to worry about it. The legislation doesn't do anything. It just highlights current law, and we're adding it in the Environment Committee without any input from the appropriate agency in the wrong committee. And we're doing it because it was offered by Representative Clark, and it doesn't really do anything. It solidifies current law under the jurisdiction of a different committee that we're throwing in here without the appropriate agency being notified. Didn't call them last night. If I'm not mistaken, I opened this bill on the House floor about 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon. We're trying to defend that we're going to do it because it really doesn't do anything, but it makes us feel good. But we can't hear from the agency, though, even though allegations have been made that the law was broken because we have photos of somebody that I don't have any photos of them, but maybe they were passed out when I left the room of somebody doing something. I'm sorry, we walk around on job sites all the time without protective gear. If they were breaking the law, I guess I'd like to know that. And are we going to move forward on this legislation currently out of the bounds of this committee because it doesn't matter and it's not changing anything? If I understood you right, it doesn't do anything. We're just going to pass it because it has jurisdiction in a different committee, but we're going to throw it in here because it makes sense or because it doesn't make any sense. We're just doing it because we want to do it and we can do it and we got the votes to do it, so we're going to do it.
I'm going to ask Representative Clark.
Mr. Chairman, you know what? I'm going to withdraw this part of the. I'm going to remove Section 51. And let me just tell you something, Representative McNamara. This was carefully vetted with the Department of Labor, with the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, and so the things that you're saying are really incorrect. It was talked about in this committee too, and I've checked with others. We talked about it in this committee. It's coming before you now formally. What I was trying to do was making sure that we do have the state and federal law enforced. And I think it's very sad to have to make this motion because I think there's a whole bunch of people who may be harmed or continue to be harmed if we don't have strong enforcement. This was an effort to ensure that the existing law be enforced. But Madam Chair, I'm going to move that we remove this for today, and we'll come back to work on this again another day. I just think it's of an important issue, and for the moment, I don't want it to be causing any problems to this bill. So, Mr. Chairman, I move that we remove Section 51.
Representative Clark withdraws the A2 amendment.
Well, I withdraw that amendment, Mr. Chair, and I further move that we remove Section 51 from the bill.
Okay, let me get this right here. Okay, Representative Clark withdraws the A2 amendment. and moves to remove, to delete Section 51 from this bill. Any further comments or questions on the motion before? All in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Opposed, no. Motion passed. Adopted. Representative Scalzi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do have an amendment that the DNR has requested on page 11 regarding the Detmer bill that we heard on Tuesday regarding the park permits. Currently, we have an annual park permit issued at no charge to any veteran with total and permanent service-connected disability. On page 11, lines 11.7, and the DNR can come and talk to us about this, they would like to have that a daily park permit until they can get a handle on how many people that would might affect. So I guess my amendment would be, and then we can react to that on line 11.7, the amendment would be after the second "and" to insert a daily park permit. So that line 11.7 would read, or actually on starting on line 11.5, it would read, the commissioner shall issue an annual park permit for no charge to any veteran with a total and permanent service-connected disability, comma, and a daily park permit to any resident veteran with any level of service-connected disability, comma.
Any questions? Well, Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Scalzi, my only question is are they going to try, and if somebody comes and they say stay 3 days or whatever, are they going to track that so that it's just one individual versus will it show up as three different times, or will they show that it only goes to that one individual? Because, you know, there's, if they stayed 2 weeks and they were going on a daily park permit, and I can't remember what the year permit is, and I think the daily pass is at $3 or whatever. I just, you know, for tracking purposes, it makes a difference on cost-wise if we're talking about one person versus, you know, 10 different people. I'm not conveying this very well, and I apologize for that.
Representative Golden.
Mr. Chair and Representative Anderson, I'm not sure, and the DNR can speak to that. I think the question is, the daily park permit is $7, and the annual is $25. So there's quite a bit of difference in cost. And I think the testimony we had on Tuesday was, and I don't remember the exact dollar figure, but the permanent disabilities people, I think, were somewhere around $500. And the with any level was, I think, somewhere around $5,000, and our fiscal analyst gave us a reading of what that would cost. But I think we should hear from the DNR as to the answer your question, whether or not they could track that.
Commissioner Meyer.
Mr. Chair, members, for the record, Bob Meyer, Department of Natural Resources. First of all, I want to make it clear for the record that the department does support providing options for veterans at all levels. We are no way against providing or discouraging any options for veterans. We look at any option that we have. We've actually talked with the author, providing additional opportunities besides what's in the bill, looking to develop some other potential opportunities in the future. But what we're talking about is to reduce the what Mr. Reinholz is determining as the fiscal impact of this. We think that the impact is a little bit less or substantially less. To issue a daily pass, it brings the cost per person from $25 to however many days. To Representative Anderson's question, we will be tracking day use. So if that individual went for 3 days, that would be $15 worth of revenue. It's $5 for a daily pass. We're just simply trying to buy down the impact or reduce the impact, the fiscal cost of this proposal, with the other reductions that the department is taking in all areas. We want to provide as much opportunity, but also provide that in a fiscally sound manner. The issue is similar to when we deal with licenses for veterans, disabled people. There's been proposals before the legislature to give people a lifetime hunting or fishing license. Well, the cost of that is substantially higher than a yearly fishing license, because a person may not, a lifetime fishing, hunting or fishing license is upwards of $500 or $600, depending on the age. To provide somebody an annual pass when they may be only using it for 1 or 2 days, it helps us dial in the actual fiscal impact of this.
Any other questions or comments to the Representative McGinnis?
I did talk to Representative Detmer yesterday when I told him we were going to put this in the bill, and he said he'd been talking to DNR about changing to a daily pass. So I'm fine with it.
Okay. Seeing no further questions or comments, we do have the oral amendment in front of us. I think I have it here. I'll put it together. Line 11.7, the second "and" insert after the second "and," a daily park permit. Yep. Okay, all in favor of that oral amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, no. Amendment's adopted. Representative Lilly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And, I have an oral amendment that was brought to me by brought to my attention by the Parks and Trails folks, Judy Erickson and DNR, Forrest Bow, and Mr. Potter. It's on page 10, lines 10 and 8. What the intent is to obviously, to have a trail running from here, right from the Capitol, all the way up to Duluth. And so if we were to delete everything that's in lines 8 and 9, we would have a gap. So we're trying to prevent the gap. So I'm going to go through this a couple times and then look for nods in the crowd to make sure that I'm getting it right. But on line 10.
Lily, okay. Tell me exactly where you are here again. I missed it.
Okay. On line 8, on 10-8, leave in one segment and then delete up till the words in line 10-9. We'll start again. Shall originate in Chisago County and extend into, or looks like into, but into Hinckley and Pine County. So I'm going to add in into, or actually into will be there, but then Hinckley in Pine County, period. So I'm probably confusing that a little bit.
You're gonna have to say this as it's gonna be completed here.
Okay, Mr. Chair, it'll read one segment shall originate in Chisago County and extend it to Hinckley in Pine County, period.
Okay, well just to
so I offer that as an amendment.
Okay, thank you. And just to double check this, Ms. Taylor, would you repeat what it is? You understand it, please.
Sure. The amendment would read on page 10, line 8, reinstate one segment. Then on line 9, reinstate shall originate in Chisago County and extend into Duluth. No, wait. No.
Into Hinckley and Pine County.
Yeah, in Hinckley and Pine County. Sorry. I can repeat that. So the sentence would read, one segment shall originate in Chisago County and extend into Duluth and Hinckley and Pine County. Right?
No
Duluth. Into Hinckley and Pine County, sorry.
That's correct.
Yep.
The last one.
Do you want me to I can restate that, sorry.
I didn't help you in the beginning, Mr. Chair, and so, yeah.
So the sentence would read, one segment shall originate in Chisago County and extend into Hinckley and Pine County. Counties, I suppose.
That's
Mr.
correct.
Chair, Ms. Taylor has that correct, and I see some friendly nods, and I hope this isn't too combative. I won't ask for a roll call. But it's actually kind of an exciting thing that we would actually be able to hop on a trail, and I mean, it's just, a lot of that exists already, but just, we didn't want to have a gap all the way to Duluth, so thank you.
Any other comments, questions from members? Seeing none, all those in favor of the oral amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, no. Amendment's adopted.
Any comments from members?
Representative Hartman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I didn't bring an amendment, but the chair knows that I'm working on getting more of my language to be amenable to her to include in this omnibus bill. The portion that I was particularly disappointed that didn't make it into the omnibus draft is the permitting efficiency goal and report, because it's a non-binding goal and a report that will give us more information on permits that take longer than 150 days. And the agencies were not opposed. It doesn't take any general fund money. There's a small fiscal note in the Environmental Fund and PCA. I think it'd be good for us to know when permits take longer than 150 days, why that is. And the language in my bill did not do anything to cause a rush of the environmental review process, and that's clear in current law that the permitting process is something that doesn't get completed until environmental review is complete. And so I'll be working with Mr. King from the Land Stewardship Project and Representative Falk's father, who's also interested in this issue, to try to come up with some language that makes people feel comfortable. What we're not trying to do is give short shrift to environmental review or to speed it up to an irresponsible timeline, but we're trying to get more information and actually communicate to the public that this process does work very well the vast majority of the time. And I think that increasing the confidence in our environmental laws is another way to protect the environment. And we have to do some things, because there's a perception out there that Minnesota is not open for business. And we need to combat that perception and do what we can to respond to concerns that have been brought to us by small businesses. So I will keep working on this, and we'll see where we can get going forward.
Representative Hanson. Representative Hanson.
Mr. Chair, I had an oral amendment, so it's not on this point. Sorry.
No.
Okay. Please proceed.
Mr. Chair, on page 27, line 27.17, where it says, and zoning administrators, comma, I'd like to add Minnesota Association of Realtors.
Just one more, 27.17?
Correct.
Representative Hanson, and where?
After the first comma.
After the first comma.
Add Minnesota Association of Realtors. And Mr. Chair and members of the committee, I was brought this amendment. This is a subsurface sewage treatment systems implementation. I think there would be a value in having the folks who are selling property beyond the task force to be aware of what the requirements are, so when they're selling property, there's not any surprises for people. And that the task force, I don't believe it's going to add any cost, and may help with awareness for the public when they're purchasing homes.
Heard the amendment. Any comments, questions about that? Okay, all in favor of the oral amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, no. Amendment's adopted. Representative Gaines.
There are no amendments that I see, and I renew my motion that House File 3702 be passed and returned to the Finance as amended.
If any member comments, further comments on the bill? Seeing none, any public testimony on the bill as amended? Okay, we're going to, Representative Guinea has renewed her motion. Seeing no further discussion, all in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Opposed, no. bills passed, return to finance as amended.
Thank you, members.
We do have somebody want to move some March 23 minutes. Whoever's read them completely and...
Mr. Chair, I'll move the minutes.
Representative Scalzi moves adoption of the minutes of March 23, 2010. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no. Minutes are adopted. No further business. We are adjourned.